see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this program, this broadcast this afternoon, and you're welcome. Brought to you by Watching for Jesus Network. Family, I want to talk a little bit about it. It seems that people are interested lately about suicide. And I've yet to, I don't know, maybe I haven't heard enough yet, but I've yet to hear in other places that are talking about it. When you're dealing with the suicide of celebrities and military, well, there's something different going on there than just regular suicide. Is there such a thing as a regular suicide? Let me explain this slightly. I'm going to talk about that the first part of the hour. In the second hour, we're going back into feminism, how it's destroyed this country by design. Tavistock had a big hand in it. It wasn't ever for, feminism was never for equal pay rights and all that. That was the lead-in. That was the carrot that they put before the women who were put in bondage on purpose for the generations. It's all been pre-planned, way ahead of time. Well, what's that got to do with the suicides? It's the same thing. Because the suicides are planned also for celebrities and the military. It's planned out. It's planned out. I showed y'all yesterday, when you go back over the, I don't think you're going to hear this too many places. But again, I don't want you to believe anything I say. I want you to doubt everything I say. Start learning to doubt. And then check it out on your own. You see? Because the deception is the rule in every single case. Deception is the rule. That can be proven. I've talked about that before, how they control the media. According to congressional records, 1915 until today, the evidence is clear, supported by evidence from the congressional records. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a fact. Why would they do that? It's about a world government. Suicides eliminates the opposition, but suicides also are part of the occult promise, schedule, of giving up a life force as you plan, as you promised to do when you became a singer, dancer, songwriter, actor, actress. Oh, yeah. That's absolutely a fact. You see, they're told in the level, they're told that if you do a good act, do a good deed, your contract's actually canceled with Satan. They have to take a contract with Satan. That's been proven. You see, it's been proven. People don't have any idea. A lot of people out there. Now, you all that's been studying this, you do have an idea. But the majority, 99% of Americans are being misled. Being misled. You got to understand where the enemy is really coming from. And you got to do it soon. I try to bring that up in every one of my broadcasts. To show you how Satan is actually working, how the government is controlled by the supernatural forces. This is worldwide. When I say government, I mean worldwide. If you don't understand that, it's like trying to fight a forest fire with a garden hose. It's never going to work. You can have all the military takeovers and revolutions all you want. It will not work. It never has. It never will. You must be smarter. You must go about it a different way. Otherwise, you're not going to succeed whatsoever. All they do want to do is replace one pot for the same kettle. A blackened pot and a blackened kettle. This is how they do it. They just change the names. They can always control both sides. Always. They create the opposition forces. They create the enemy, and they create the opposition. Do you understand what I'm saying? You think someone's on your side because they're raising a militia or they're raising a rebel group or whatever? No. The Illuminati is controlling both sides every single time. From people you know that you trust are working for the secret societies. Every country is controlled by the Illuminati. Jesuits. The Jesuits are there to murder, kill, and cause people to fight each other. Order out of chaos is what's really going on today. Our troops have been targeted since 1945, 1950. Korea was planned to lose. Send us into fight by the Council of Foreign Relations and to make sure we lose. I got the evidence. I got the quotes. It goes as high as General MacArthur confirming this. You understand this. I'm not messing around here. Vietnam, there was no way they was going to win. They fought bravely. They thought they were fighting communists and all that. It was inside. The Jesuits planned it. The Jesuits planned the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln confirms it with a quote. And this each generation of Jesuit passing on this evil legacy to the next generation of Jesuits. When are we going to learn? And when a Jesuit decides to do something right and say, get out of it, he will be murdered. All you got to do is look up the oath of the Jesuits that's cataloged in the, and they got it. They have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. They have to tell you. It's required. But they do it in such a way that you won't believe it, or that you just poo-poo it. Or, oh, it's conspiracy theory. See, they've got you manipulated using psychology, keywords to throw you off, but they still have to tell you. So you find nuggets of truth within their own groups, you understand. So then what you do is you learn what the basic truth is. You find you a cadre of truth tellers that's over the generations, over the decades, and most of them are the ones that assassinated or not popular. Most all the popular ones work for the Council of National Policy, Council of Foreign Relations, Tavistock, Freemasons. See, that's how it really works. Today I'm going to talk about the suicide, but I'm going to talk about the reality of suicide. For at least, we'll see how far we get. And then move on into how the feminist movement is based on a socialistic agenda. People don't realize. But you have to know the enemy before you even begin to slow them down or defeat them or whatever. You have to know your enemy and have to be realistic about it. If you're not, you're just fighting a forest fire with a garden hose or trying to put out a fire with just hitting the flames. It don't work that way. You got to go to the base of the fire. And you have to be realistic about it. It's not going to work if you don't. And that's what they're counting on. They've got this conspiracy so complex that people just give up. Now, personally, I don't give up. I'm stubborn, hard-headed, bullheaded. I am. That's just my nature, just the way it is. One thing I'm not, one person I'm not bullheaded against, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, as I do. And then we're going to jump into this suicide issue, and I'm going to break it down for you. And it will be basic, because we could do a program for a whole week on it. I have before, actually. At least 3-4 days talking about troop suicides. You understand the implication of this, what I'm talking about? I've got the studies. You can go to it right now on my website, watchmanforjesus.com. Go there now if you want. Watchmanforjesus.com. I've got a study, part one, part two, to demonstrate how the suicides of the military, 22 to 26 per day, that's death pounding with your fist acknowledgement. That is, makes you, it's unbelievable. Now, you don't think the Joint Chief of Staff don't know about this? That the suicides are orchestrated? 26 per day. Can you fathom that? 26 suicides. Say 20 to 26. It was 18 about 2 years ago. 3 years ago. 15 to 18. Now it's 22 to 26. The latest count, the highest count, was 26 per day. Every 24 hours, there's a suicide of a military man. We have one suicide of a celebrity, gave his soul to the devil, like the rest of them do. One suicide, and it's national news, memorials. You got one, oh, man. You know, when I think about that, it just, well, well, let's dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to get into it today, and tomorrow, and Friday, and doggone it next week if I have to. And The suicides are being orchestrated, planned. It's not post-traumatic stress. 80% of the suicides have never been to combat. So what about the post-traumatic stress? What's the deal there? Has a lot to do with the takeover of America and the breakdown of the U.S. forces. Now, you don't think the Joint Chief of Staff don't know this? So then would it have something to do with them pledging their lives to the Council of Foreign Relations above and beyond human life? You better believe it is. This is massive, what I'm talking about. I just hope sometime that they will hear my broadcasts. And that somehow the Holy Spirit will convict their soul to the damn they can't sleep at night. Till some of them comes out and starts whistleblowing. Because if they don't, it won't be stars they'll be seeing. It'll be embers of hot coal. That's a promise and a guarantee. Only way they can get out of it is to renounce the blood oath they took and the evil they've committed. Otherwise, they're heading to hell. Literally. And the only thing that will save them is Jesus Christ and repenting of their sin and making things right. Repentance. Accepting Jesus as Savior. And then the Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. But until they do that, your Joint Chief of Staff that briefed the Council of Foreign Relations, members of the Council of Foreign Relations, they're heading to hell on a fast track. It's proven that they start the wars. Arlington is filled up because of the Council of Foreign Relations. It's filled up because of the Vatican. It's filled up because of the Jesuits. It's filled up because of cowards out there that see more of their self-serving secret society oaths than they do human life. Hope you wrote that down, because I couldn't repeat that again in 1,000 years. The message will get to them. Eventually. Let's dedicate the broadcast. Lord, we come before you today in prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we dedicate this program each and every day. And Father, we pray today, we lift up to you those that are participating, Father, to hear their prayers as we all pray together. Lord, we see changes in this country going on a daily basis. And Lord, we call upon you, Lord, today. And from now on, Lord, we call upon you to open up the eyes of those that hear. To soften those hearts, Lord, and give them power. Give them courage. Father, convict the souls of those causing the problems, the evil, to convict them, Father, that they may be saved. That, Father, they'll come around, that they'll realize what they've done. And, Father, to touch those hearts, convict those souls, Lord, that we can bring out whistleblowers to expose the evil, to name names, name places, name their agendas. To extend the time, if that be thy will. Or, to, Father, we pray the return of Jesus Christ soon. But, Father, we pray for an end to this. Lord, we pray for an awakening and bringing together of family members. Father, we pray for an awakening in this country and the world in its best. That, Father, that you will bring an awakening, a spiritual awakening toward the true Word of God. And, Father, we call upon you from those that's taken these blood oaths, Father, to strip down their protection that Satan has given upon them, to strip down protection, to make them naked to the world so we may see who they are, Father. But, Lord, we do pray in this opening that you Find those, Father, that you know, and only you know, to bind that Holy Spirit to their heart, and that Holy Spirit to serve as a guide straight to your Son, Jesus, that they may sanctify, they may, Father, lead others to your direction, to your saving grace, of those that can be. And Father, we pray for veterans. Father, we need supernatural intervention to counteract the effects of these psychotropic drugs being given erroneously to our children, to our veterans. And Father, to counter the effects of these vaccines, these drugs, this technology causing the voice in the mind to silence those voices, Lord, to destroy that technology, to wake them up, to bring them back to normal. Father, because it's being orchestrated and planned out. Father, we need supernatural for this. We also pray for these children. Father, being identified for sexual sacrifice and satanic sacrifice that goes to the highest level of governments. And Father, you expose this lie. You expose this practice, that people can take action against it. We can pray against it. Prayer groups against it. And Lord, to have a spiritual awakening in this world that's going to lead them to Jesus. We pray, Father, that you wake up those in the pulpits today to start preaching the true word of God as never before. And Lord, that's why we pray over us the full armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. And Lord, to put in our hands the sword of the Spirit, which is the Almighty Word of God contained in the King James Bible. Father, we thank you for this Bible. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit, that we may commune with you. And Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. That's why we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, you have this person up in Washington, thereabouts, called Paul Rykoff, former military veteran, that's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, heading the committee, organization, to help stop or curtail the suicides. Me just saying that he's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations is all I need to say. See, they form the groups that allegedly are going to help, but that's not what they're there for. They're there to slow it down. They're there to facilitate this murder of our troops by design. Why? Because they have UN troops inside the United States today. They always have since 1990s, even before that, actually, 1980s. We've had 6 planned military coups of the U.S. government as far back as 1933. Our Civil War was orchestrated by the Jesuits, confirmed by Abraham Lincoln, who went out in public. That's why they had to kill him. The Jesuits, the Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Columbus, secret societies. This is what's really going on. Now, in those times that they were planning a military coup in 1933, 1943, 1960s, 1980s, 1972, 74, Nixon, General Cushman, the Marine Corps, Fellow Marine. That boggles my mind. 1984, Giafrida, Reagan, Carter, the whole lot of them, Knights of Malta, so forth. The whole time was planned to use American troops against American citizens. That's got to be some kind of dumb, because they should know it never worked. They tried it out at the Bonus Army in 1932-33. They're going to do it in 1943. Matter of fact, FDR, with his own quote, bear with me, regular listeners, because each time I bring something up, this one quote from FDR offers a different aspect to the point I'm trying to make of why they would suicide our troops. There's another reason why they caused the suicides and deaths of celebrities. There's several reasons for that. It's different than the military, that they're orchestrating the suicides. FDR said, now listen to the date. Put it in your mind when the date is being said behind closed doors in front of three congressional committees. Senator Lundeen, L-U-N-D-E-E-N, was a witness to this quote. He gave it by letter to William G. Carr, a Canadian military man, 1955. This is the real FDR, the one that is symbolic of all the presidents we've ever had, except for the ones assassinated. He is symbolic of the agenda of every single one, except for Washington, John Adams, Andrew Jackson, the rest of them, modeled after FDR and the agenda that the American public does not know. I'm going to give you that quote. And this is representative of the puppets called American president of the United States of America Incorporated, a colony still today. You militia better understand what you're really up against. Here's what FDR said behind closed doors. And keep in mind of the date and perspective of what dates and what events happened during this time period, the impact of what I'm going to tell you. Now, those that's heard it before, you'll say, oh, here we go again. You probably memorized it by now. But it works to let you know what you're really up against. Behind closed doors in front of three congressional committees, Senator Lundeen was a member. You'll find it in Red Fog Over America by William G. Carr. It is documented. And I quote FDR behind closed doors. This was never to be released to the public. It wasn't released until FDR died at Yalta after he was murdered. Here's what FDR said. I quote, I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I am putting my people, that's Illuminati, ahead of all instruments. That's the American citizens, all of them, are the instruments. Continuing, I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war, and a war only. To hell with the American people, as far as a democracy is concerned. It does not exist, it never did, and we will never let it happen that way. I am going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible, and in the last analysis, declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My New Deal is a failure, and I know it. But no one else will tell me that I must discontinue my present activities and program. Unquote. Now, that's an actual statement made by FDR. And that is, in fact, representative of the attitude of the agenda of Reagan, Carter, Bush, Clinton, Obama, Truman, Eisenhower. But along the way, They tried to warn the American people in their own little way. And, of course, well, Abraham Lincoln went in a big way, and he went out in a big way. McKinley did, too, went out in a big way. Garfield was just a bad actor and run his mouth too much, according to the Illuminati. Same thing with Reagan. Both of them were bad actors. Reagan, no pun intended, Reagan and Garfield. They were just put in their place. They had no intention of being good presidents. They lied. Even Reagan admitted he lied on TV. How much more clear can you get? And JFK. He was going to dismantle this whole thing. And he would have. He was not playing the role. He was not a Freemason, and neither was Abraham Lincoln. Now, this is a reality. So now, going back to the point of the quote, I have a military machine. So, is it okay? That's the point. Right there. And infesting America with all the aliens possible. That's not just Obama. This goes back to FDR. They had the world divided into 10 regions in 1943. Yeah. And Nixon, in his attempt to divide the United States into 10 regions, set up for 10 governors and 10 UN regional administrators in 1972. Executive Order 11647. Go look it up. And the following year, within about 9 months of that, February the 12th, 1972, the following year, to extend the 11647, he had 11731, just an extension of it, and then to control government, 11495. Watergate was just a little old bitty symptom. The point is, they finally realized, even at Kent State, at the outrage of the Bonus Army when they used the military, Patton and MacArthur against their own World War I veterans to see if they would actually bayonet them or kill their own veterans. Would Americans fight Americans? They finally realized this is just not going to work. So around the 80s, 70s, 80s, Jimmy Bob Carter, peanut farmer, Luciferian Jimmy Carter, fake Christian Jimmy Carter, signed a treaty of sort, an act of some kind that caused the United States to pull out of Panama Canal. Uh-oh, there goes your jobs, Panamanians. Oh, nope, nope, nope. It's okay because now China's going to move in. That was all planned out to bring China into the Panama Canal. Then the jobs, so they're accepted by the Panamanians. They got the jobs back. You also got China in Panama Canal. That was all planned out. Why? So they could build bases in Mexico. Why? So they could come in the United States and set up for the takedown of America, as allowed by our government. They're going to plan a takedown of America, FDR, Churchill, Japanese elite, the Illuminati, in 1940s in six phases. And the sixth phase was a takedown of America. FDR working with Hitler, FDR working with Churchill. They're all second doggone cousins. Churchill, Queen Elizabeth II, Stalin, and Hitler. We're all second cousins. The President of the United States, this time FDR, is nothing but a lower level cousin in the Merovingian bloodline. Look it up right now. We've been fooled, but they've been led down the wrong path by the Luciferian. This is the truth, I'm telling you. So the point of the matter here is, when you learn this truth, it just starts coming out. It's like put you on a different plane of existence. It's all documented. You can find this stuff, but you got to look it up. You won't find it in the history books. That's almost a laugh. So my point is, The takedown of America, six phases, was in 1943. Hitler got powerless. The Japanese failed to take out Pearl Harbor and then focus on the California. And in the sixth phase, Hitler was to cross the Atlantic into Canada, march all the way through to Canada in the middle in Ontario, turn south across the Great Lakes, and come in and split the United States in half. The Japanese was to take out the West Coast. And the dictatorship was going to be planned by FDR. The dictatorship would have put and subjugated Americans. You understand what I'm saying here? That fell apart. You see, they forget that there's a God above. Six phases. The fifth phase, British, and France, was to be taken out as planned by Churchill. Churchill helped murder 1,207 lives above the Lusitania. I got this documented. Historians confirm Churchill set up the Lusitania to get into World War I. He's responsible for the murder of all those lives aboard the Lusitania by design. Not a mistake, not an accident, but by design. You understand what this does to history? What the reality of it is? And Churchill was of Knights of Malta, like Jerry Boykin is, and like Rick Joyner is, and are. Knights of Malta. Reagan, Knights of Malta. Leon Panetta, Knights of Malta. Now you got the point? Family, it's time to face what's really going on. Somehow. And maybe they'll get the message up there that we know what's going on. And just to give you a little rest for my little old voice, let's give someone credible, who's credible, more credible, higher level than I could ever be, to tell you himself exactly about the secret societies.
President John F. Kennedy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tight-knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised.
Martin Luther King, John Lennon, McDonald, Princess Diana, Benazir Bhutto, Tupac, Dr. David Kelly, William Cooper, Barry Jennings, just name a few.
No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens, whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Now, the rest of the audio shows the footage of JFK being shot from all different directions. You know, there's a talk about JFK's assassin as one person, just to keep you all busy. 9-1-1 still is a bunch of terrorists out there. Then they say, well, it's the Jews. Man, they're trying to get people so mixed up. No, it's Illuminati, the Jesuits, Mafia, CIA. To silence him like the Jesuits silenced Abraham Lincoln. Same reasons. Because they were escaping the control that a lot of celebrities today escape. Or they think they're going to escape and they have to kill him. Now, I might sound a little dramatic, but these are the truths I'm telling you. This is the reality of what we live in. This is the reality of Satan's world, as allowed by God because sin entered the world. Jesus Christ is coming back. But right now, Satan is the great deceiver. But God's the great revealer. And what God uncovers, Satan tries to hide. This is a supernatural war that we're in today. He controls the government, Satan does. Because every conspiracy is simply a step in the outward manifestation of Lucifer's determined rebellion towards God as executed by his human agents. This is the reality. And only through Jesus Christ are you going to be able to deal with it. There's no other way. And you know, like George Orwell said, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. That's what we're going to do. Whether I, you know, whether I'm internationally known or nationally known or just local, either way, at least do something. Because you never know, but that one step, that one match, might start a forest fire. But if you don't do anything, then nothing's going to start. Well, a definition in Red Fog Over America by William G. Carr, he talks about nihilists, N-I-H-I-L-I-S-T-S. Nihilists are assassins that the government uses, MK-Ultra. From childhood, they fracture their personalities and characters from birth, from childhood. Or an adult, they really jump on them with techniques and methods by which they'll fracture their character. This is what really happens. And they have their pick of the litter in the colleges and universities, thanks to Tavistock. Now, everything I'm talking about now, I could talk about like Tavistock for an hour. We could talk about suicide for an hour. So everything is kind of like a new language if you haven't heard this before. But everything I tell you, I've got evidence for. It's about connecting dots. Well, here's my point. Nihilist, as defined in William G. Carr's Red Fog Over America, 1955, Red Cover Edition, that's the original, defines a nihilist that today is perfected. And this goes back to the 1950s, it goes back to 40s, 30s, 20s. Nihilists are, and I quote, a definition. The executioners used by all conspirators who aspire to control of a world dictatorship. History reveals that these assassins are to be found in all classes of society. They try, if possible, to make the murders they commit look like accidents, suicides, or natural deaths. Unquote. Now, when you talk about accidents, suicides, and natural deaths, 1955, as technology increased, so did their opportunities and technology of how to cause death. That's their main objective. Other less fatal means of control is what they call a black book, according to William G. Carr. Less dramatic, but it still works. It's effective if they don't want to kill the congressman, the scientist, the political leader, the general, or whoever it is that decides to tell the truth. The black book is, I quote, a book in which the directors of the international conspiracy kept a record of the private lives of influential people together with a detailed report of their characteristics, faults, and failings. The information is used to persuade, quote-unquote, people into doing the bidding of the conspirators, either because of fear of exposure or for the sake of obtaining more luxury and material rewards, unquote. So if you're voting for, say, in a congressional health care bill or some state and they need to approve homosexual marriage or something that they're going to pass through, they'll approach that congressman, that representative, that president of the hospital, whatever, and give him the truth about what's going to happen to him if he don't vote a certain way. This is not movies. This is real life. This is how it really works. Suicides. This is a horrible personal tragedy in suicides. Everybody blames themselves, blames others. How come I didn't see it before? Maybe I could have, if I had done this, everybody blames themselves. In the way of military suicides, it got my attention when it was 15 suicides per day. I said, something is not right here, to say the least. Per day, per 24 hours. Then it jumped up when I always followed it, to 18 per day was the average. Then it went up to 21, 22, about a year or two later. Then recently it's 26 per day. So I started doing research a couple years ago. I'm a former Marine. 12 years, got out as a captain. So I got some insight on being in the military. I've been in all aspects of it, the fleet, recruiting, recruit training. I was a company commander, 1st Battalion Alpha Company in Paris Island. Recruiting duty. I know the lies that I was told by a captain when I was up in Buffalo, New York as a recruiting officer that I had to tell the district certain numbers and certain things. I said, well, it's not true. I said, well, Lieutenant, this captain said to me, I'll never forget it. It's when I just came out of the fleet and went up to an administrative job like recruiting station operations officer. He said, he closed the door. He said, look, sometimes there's certain things you got to tell people that you might not think is true. I said, what? He said, the best way to tell a lie is to make yourself believe it. That's my first introduction to outside the fleet of corruptness. It went badly for a year after that because I'm very stubborn. People that know me will vouch for that. But, you see, people got to take off those rosy red glasses, those rosy glasses, and look at the world as it really is. Suicide of our troops is being orchestrated. How crazy does that sound to you? When you look at it, from 80% of suicides, of the 26 per day, 80% or so have not seen combat. So what's the story here? But they're taking psychotropic drugs like your children are with that fake ADHD. That's fake. They're lying to you. The psychiatrists are liars. They want to get those pills inside your children, the psychotropic drugs. Suicide. Anybody that is the opinion that somehow solves anything, there's a family that acquired a story of that happy married couple in the late 40s, and they had two fine children and expensive new home, and everybody liked them. They even had a large hobby farm and number of horses and so forth. They seemed to be modern day success. One day the wife lost her job due to corporate downsizing. And ignoring all that she still had, one warm, sunny morning, she went out and hanged herself in the horse barn. So did her death solve anything? No, it didn't. It only causes more tragedy. The husband, after grieving for his wife for over a year, he went to a local funeral home to make pre-arrangements for his own funeral. You know, it's a commonly accepted practice in many countries. You fill out the papers and then giving a check for full payment for the unsuspecting funeral director. He went outside and took a 12-gauge shotgun out of the car and killed himself in the funeral home parking lot. His death solve anything? No. The couple's two children, a son and a daughter, in their mid-early 20s, are left without both parents, with the knowledge of what happened to them. You can only hope and pray that the tragic events for these families are ended. But suicides today are being caused by technology, psychotropic drugs, voice-to-skull technology. Voice-to-skull technology. The troops that's coming back, the troops here in CONUS, continental United States, are hearing voices in their head. Now, for me to say that, it sounds crazy already, don't it? Anthony Sutton confirms the technology that's used by that. This is a fact. And the troops cannot tell anybody because nobody's going to believe it. They've got the point that they're blaming it on the troops, the inability to handle stress and so forth, or ADHD, or for the children, and post-traumatic stress, PTSD, for the troops coming back from combat. Well, then what about the 80% that's not been to combat? What about that? What about that group? Let's see what happens here.
Brain-machine interfaces, a technology that marks the beginnings of a new kind of man, the cyborg, the robot man. Neuro-robotic technology can be applied in different directions. The brain controlling the machine, or, inversely, the machine controlling the brain.
So we're just going to go through each one of these arms. One, two,
so they got a
three,
rat with a
four,
implant.
Five, six. Let's do all of those.
On a trap.
No, let's do it.
Different routes.
But a third option is also possible. One brain controlling another brain via the interface. How does this work in the case of the robot rat? All you need, in fact, are three well-positioned electrodes. Two electrodes in the sensory cortex of the rat send stimuli to the zones connected to its whiskers. When the rat follows the signal sent to its left side and turns in that direction, it is rewarded with a discharge into its pleasure zone. This discharge produces a flow of dopamine, providing instant pleasure. This zone is also called the brain's reward center. We possess a reward center too, just like the rat. In the process of creating a cyborg, this is square one. If we send a stimulus to the zone related to the hand, we create a sensation in that area. In the same way, via the motor cortex, we can provoke an involuntary movement. In Boston, the first machine-brain interface trials have already been conducted on paraplegic patients. Thanks to an electrode chip called the brain gate, they can operate a computer remotely by thought. So it's no coincidence that these researches are partly funded by DARPA, the U.S.'s Defense Research Agency. Neuroscience will bring us the soldier of the future.
This is a new deal, gentlemen.
Kennedy Center of Gravity is downtown.
Just get a good view from here.
A remote-controlled soldier? A soldier who, in the midst of the battle, can be sent crucial data and information downloaded into his brain? A soldier who can control his fears?
Actual combat footage. And examples of mind control.
Dude, look at me. People all.
Dude, those two people.
You said, who pulled up in the white car?
I
shot that dude in the white car, ran in.
Oh, yes. You're going to get it. Yes. Naughty little boys. Yes. 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 Yes.
We possess a reward center too, just like the rat. If we send a stimulus to the zone related to the hand, we create a sensation in that area. In the same way, via the motor cortex, we can provoke an involuntary movement.
You little shoot it out! You little die!
We are going to reach a level of control. The more we learn about the brain, the more researchers discover how little our consciousness and will control our choices and behaviors. Our way of living might be completely transformed by the convergence of neuroscience, genetics, and nanotechnology.
Now, you sort of getting the hint a little bit there about what we're talking about. Did it not say DARPA? Did I not hear the word DARPA? I think I did. I'm being a little facetious. So let's see what DARPA's up to. How about the director talking? That ought to be enough. Director in research into technology. And then supply it to the orchestrated suicides. Regina Dugan, former director of DARPA, current executive at Google, what they got planned by the year 2017.
Well, we're thinking of a whole variety of options for how you could do better at authentication. So you can start with nearer term things like tokens or fobs that might have NFC or Bluetooth embedded in them. But you can also think about a means of authentication that you could simply wear on your skin every day for a week at a time, say an electronic tattoo. Now, we're talking about wearables. Everybody's interested in wearables. I'm profoundly interested in wearables. And what I will tell you is that there are some, we've made a lot of advances in wearables, but there's still some fundamental problems that we haven't solved. Like one of them is the mechanical mismatch between humans and electronics, right? So electronics are boxy and rigid, humans are curvy and soft. That's a mechanical mismatch problem. Well, a researcher at the University of Illinois, his name is Dr. Rogers, what he discovered is that he could use standard CMOS techniques to make islands of high-performance silicon connected by accordion-like structures that would allow it to stretch up to 200% and still be performing. And what he did is he founded a company, and they started making electronic tattoos. So I'm wearing one here on my arm.
Do we have a camera to get a...
This is a developmental system made by MC10, and it has an antenna and some sensors embedded in it. And what we plan to do is work with them to advance a tattoo that could be used for authentication. Now, it may be true that 10 to 20-year-olds don't want to wear a watch on their wrist, but you can be sure that they'll be far more interested in wearing an electronic tattoo, if only to piss off their parents. Right?
And that can have a design, right? Because
sure.
They would certainly want some kind of cool design.
Options, right? Options. And that's something that you wear, but you could also imagine including authentication in just your daily habits. So I take a vitamin every morning. What if I could take vitamin authentication?
What?
Vitamin authentication. Look, I have one right here. Well, here, I'll let you hold it. Would you like to hold it?
I'll hold it.
Okay. So this...
You guys see it?
This pill has a small chip inside of it with a switch. It also has what amounts to an inside-out potato battery. When you swallow it, the acids in your stomach serve as the electrolyte.
That's what I do.
And they power it up, and the switch goes on and off. And it creates an 18-bit ECG-like signal in your body, and essentially your entire body becomes your authentication token. Yes, this is true. Okay?
Okay, but...
Okay, so wait. So it's really true. So what this means is that that becomes my first superpower. I really want the superpower. It means that my arms are like wires. My hands are like alligator clips. When I touch my phone, my computer, my door, my car, I'm authenticated in. First superpower. Like, I want that.
So we're not shipping that right away.
Yeah, no. We're not shipping that right away. But it
sounds
like
this is FDA cleared?
So here's the thing. This is not science fiction. This pill was actually made by a company called Proteus, and they've developed it for medical applications. That pill has been CE stamped and cleared by the FDA. You can take 30 of those per day for the rest of your life.
And then what happens? Does your heart
Nothing.
Beat change? Does your
We can just tell that you've taken the pill. I mean, the medical application...
Yeah.
The medical application.
Does Google now know everything I do and everywhere I go? Because, let's face it,
here,
we like
just,
you guys, but you're from Google.
Just give him some water and let him take
Thanks.
Maybe Dennis. Dennis, let me ask you. Does Larry make you take one of these?
It's optional.
Optional.
So we actually have demoed this working and authenticating a phone.
Yeah.
All right, now. Leading right up to the next point, one step at a time. I have the study, 1973, actually goes back to 1960. What they have today is a digital tattoo. You heard Duga here, former DARPA director and research in the Beast technology. Well, I'm going to give you the prototype. Let's connect some dots here. How about that? Perhaps inspired by the Pentagon Papers back when in the 70s, somebody, someone in the bureaucracy of the federal government smuggled out a Xeroxed nightmare made available. Hard to find it now. I got a copy of it. It's a 92-page monograph. Official title is called Development and Legal Regulation of, and here's the key words, Coercive Behavior Modification Techniques with Offenders. Now, it's pretty much out of stock. It's hard to find a copy of it, but I have one. And it was a study within the Department of Health, Education, Welfare. Did the health care bill come to mind all of a sudden? So the Health, Education, Welfare Department financed this preparation. What is it? I'll tell you. The thesis of this project in 1973 was that social or cultural or finally political rehabilitation. You understand how this applies to them shutting down the prisons, which is the next step they're going to do. They're going to justify eliminating the death penalty and shutting down the prisons. No more court. This is already planned. This is not something I'm projecting. This is planned to happen. No more prisons in the New Age movement. You understand what that means? They'll let go all the felons on the public. New Agers don't realize this, but they're going to find out. It's going to be the hard way. But this thesis, 30-some years ago, was that rehabilitation. So you don't need to be in the prisons anymore. You felons, it's going to be released. You understand what you're falling into? The very ones that's going to release you are going to double-cross you. Because their idea of rehabilitation in this thesis back in 1973, it began inside the nervous system of the citizen. So what they did in this study was a miniaturized radio transmitter in 1973 was implanted inside the brain or the body, would monitor and transmit the conversation, locations, and even the sexual response to the subject 24 hours a day. If they can monitor the sexual response, they now have the technology, according to a couple of whistleblowers, that they can put thoughts in your head. They can determine what you're thinking because the energy you output, they can identify it on a frequency code vibrational type devices. So back in 73, they could monitor your sexual response because the testing group were homosexuals in prison. But watch what happens here. And this was 24 hours a day, 1973. This report explained that sewed up inside the subject's body, along with a transponder, would be a radio-controlled electrical shock device. And this device could deliver punishment to the offender anywhere in the world in 1973. Like having your own implanted taser. How about that? In 1973. So the question rises, wait a minute here. Who are the offenders then? Who are the subjects? Well, the author of this was Professor Ralph K. Schwetzbel. It sounds like something you'd eat at a German restaurant, don't it? Schwetzbel, S-C-H. W-I-T-Z-G-E-B-E-L, of Harvard University, no less, a member of the Council of Foreign Relations and a card-carrying member of Tavistock. Well, imagine that. And so they dwelled on homosexuals. But now when you read the monograph, 92-page monograph, you'll find later it talks about the offender's financial matters. Uh-oh. And disputes over financial obligations. And anonymously, honestly, socially troublesome persons. You know they can stop your car if you don't pay a debt, a bill. They can stop it by pushing a button at the insurance or the debt, the bank. They've got your chip in your car. See, that's what to turn your junk in for money and get a new car because the old cars didn't have the chips in them. Russia had the same program. Turn your old car in for junk for money because they want to get rid of the old cars that don't have the microchips. Now they put it in your body. They can hack into your pacemaker. That's easy. Now this paper predicts in 1970s, it predicts micro miniaturization. And what it does, micro miniaturization, miniaturized, now micro-miniaturization, just gets smaller. It'll permit near-permanent intracranial stimulation. Now, since this new program would relate to civil rather than criminal situations, at that point, you're assured that the cruel and unusual punishment clause of the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution did not prevent or present to them any serious obstacle to implementation of this plan. Kind of a euphemism for castration is sterilization, which is what the HPV vaccine does, by the way. But anyway, in this case, it's given as an example of a technique that's, quote, more likely to be upheld at a court statute when it appears as a civil rather than criminal nature. Now, this is DARPA we were talking about, right? Well, back then, NSA, National Security Agency, a computer specialist in the study group, they proposed attaching miniaturized electronic tracking devices to 20 million Americans in the 70s. And the transponder would transmit the wearer's location by radio to a computer and to be used for arrest following riots, confrontations, for monitoring aliens and political subgroups. Such devices seem to be the bitter fruits of a rapidly developing field, euphemistically, by its behavior engineering. And the chief apostle is Dr. Robert Schwetzabel, twin brother of Ralph. You got Dumb and Dumber. We got Ralph and Robert. Evil to the core. And they were urging government to consider increased use of devices designed to control group behavior. Family, all they got to do is have a little march. Occupy Wall Street was funded by the Rockefellers anyway. And they have a cloud of ELF transmission that covers the United States. Human resonance, the vibrational factor is like 7.8, 8.2 hertz that you are enveloped with electromagnetic energy. They can target you by your little chip individually or as a group, a grid square. Have a little flash mob of playing violins in a, I don't know, in a mall. Or a flash mob of people marching, singing the American something, I don't know, whatever. All they got to do is target that area or an individual with 11 hertz, about 3 or 4 above normal, and you got yourself a killer and a murderer. And then they'll kill themselves. That's what it's done. That's what's going on today. Or you could target the individual that's got the microchip in it, in him or her, with 6.6 hertz, 2 or 3 below norm, and they become extremely depressed. Now, you add to it the psychotropic drugs, you got yourself a deadly cocktail there of suicide. And voice-to-skull technology, which I've already proven already. You'll do the math on that one?
This is 911. Who is this? Where is your sister? What is she trying to do? Take pills?
What? No, my dad's home now.
Our beautiful little girl Candace died by hanging 4 days after ingesting 100 milligrams of Zoloft.
Matt violently and with great difficulty took his own life.
She ended the night by cutting her wrist.
I found Jacob hanging from the rafter in our attic.
It wasn't the disease that caused my daughter to viciously mutilate herself. It was the drug.
These parents believe the drug companies had evidence there was a risk, but never told them.
I'd like to introduce you to my daughter, Caitlin Elizabeth McIntosh. Well, it's actually only a two-dimensional image of her, but it's all I have left. She died of suicide at age 12 years, 3 months, just 8 weeks after being put on Paxil and then Zoloft.
Our daughter Julie had been excited about college and had scored 1,300 in her SATs several weeks before her death. Instead of picking out colleges with our daughter, my wife and I had to pick out a cemetery plot for her. Instead of looking forward to visiting Julie at school, we now visit her grave.
On September 9, 2001, in a state of confusion and hopelessness, I put a .38 Special Smith & Wesson revolver under my chin and pulled the trigger.
I went from being a shy and mildly depressed but never suicidal kid to being overcome with thoughts of hurting and killing myself while on the SSRI drugs, thoughts which I acted on.
He told me, "I cannot stand the way this drug makes me feel." 2 days later, he committed suicide.
How do you erase the picture of your child trying to run in front of a moving car?
Would you people put your children on this drug? Would you take it yourselves?
A lot of the people who spoke this morning, the picture that was presented of their child or someone they knew was not someone who was very, very ill. It was someone who had relatively minor type findings who were put on these drugs with terrible consequences.
Dr. David Healy is a world-renowned expert on antidepressant drugs, and he joins me in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me. I actually use drugs to treat people who've got problems with their nerves. I used them when they came out first, and I use them still. And GPs prescribe them in good faith because they think these things are reasonably harmless.
Yes.
When in actual fact, they aren't.
I think what's happening is we're not just picking up people who were ill and need to be treated. We've gone way, way beyond that and are actually making people ill.
I want to ask the question of what kind of society have we become when increasingly it seems pharmaceutical companies can get drugs on the market which haven't been shown to work and which have been claimed to be safe and effective when they aren't.
Oh, this is about money. This is not about science.
The pharmaceutical industry has systematically misled physicians and patients.
The bottom line, we don't really know what these drugs are doing in real live human beings.
When you look at all of the documents, you see a pattern of misleading doctors who then unwittingly mislead patients. This is a betrayal of the public trust in physicians behind the scenes by the industry, and it must stop.
Harvard psychiatrist Joseph Glenn Mullen consults for lawyers suing antidepressant manufacturers. He prescribes these drugs to patients, but says he closely monitors them because he's seen extreme and dangerous reactions in some patients.
People who were not suicidal before I put them on the drug, who very clearly became agitated, sleepless, restlessness, and completely preoccupied with suicidal thoughts. And when I took them off the drug, it went away.
2 years ago, 16-year-old Corey Badsgard took a rifle to his high school and held 23 classmates hostage.
Describe around that time how you were feeling.
In the morning, I didn't feel like going to school. I felt sick, didn't feel like really, you know, like I could get up very well. And so I went back to bed, and next thing I remember, I'm in juvie at in detention center where I used to live.
I had no doubt that the medication did this. I mean, he had amnesia, you know, hallucinations earlier. Abnormal dreams, which are all side effects of the medication.
That morning, Corey was on a mix of antidepressants prescribed for what doctors called situational depression. His father says the pills turned Corey from a sensitive teenage boy to a volatile marauder, susceptible to blind rage.
He was never a violent kid. I mean, he's always been a good kid, loved us, hugged us all. You know, he's never watched violent videos, and until medication, he started, you know, after that, then we realized that he was having aggression problems and, you know, was out of character.
At Fox News, we found the Badsgard story with antidepressants compelling, so we investigated further. We found a disturbing number of recent school shooters were either on medication or were experiencing withdrawal.
The list includes 15-year-old Kip Kinkle withdrawing from Prozac when he shot 22 classmates, killing two, after murdering his mother and stepfather at his home in Springfield, Oregon. 18-year-old Jason Hoffman on Effexor and Celexa, and he opened fire at his California high school, wounding five. 15-year-old Sean Cooper on a mix of antidepressants when he shot students in Idaho. 15-year-old T.J. Solomon, also on a mix of antidepressants, when he aimed his shotgun at classmates in Conyers, Georgia, wounding six. And 17-year-old Eric Harris, on Luvox, when he and partner Dylan Klebold killed 12 classmates and a teacher in the bloodiest school massacre yet, Columbine.
One of the things that in the past we have known about depression is that it very, very rarely leads to violence. It's only been since the advent of these new SSRI drugs that we have murderers, sometimes even mass murderers, taking antidepressant drugs.
What's going to happen to you when some months or some years up the road you actually try to halt this drug?
You have these sudden electrical jolts.
Electric shock sensation.
I couldn't walk.
Incredibly fatigued.
I could hardly talk.
I used to get the shakes.
Pins and needles.
Extreme vertigo.
Violent dizzy spells.
I fainted a couple of times.
Chest pains.
I couldn't sleep.
Stomach spasms.
Migraine headaches.
The nervousness.
Racing thoughts.
Anxiety attacks.
Heightened emotional sensitivity.
Crying spells.
I was very angry.
I was in actual physical pain from these zaps. I mean, they just go through your whole body, and it's not only the zaps and getting sick. It just feels like all the panic attacks that you've missed from taking the drug are now bottling out of you like at an uncontrollable rate.
doctors are told, oh, our drugs don't cause withdrawal. They cause something called discontinuation syndrome, but that's transient and mild. Don't worry about it too much.
Physicians miss that ultimately they're the consumers, but there's this weird market here because I consume by putting pills in your mouth, and you're the one who's going to have to suffer the consequences of things if they go wrong.
Suicides are being orchestrated. It's not the individual's fault, necessarily. It's being orchestrated by the Illuminati, by the Jesuits, by their experts using psychotropic drugs, technology, right in our own Pentagon, in Europe, worldwide, Russia, the whole doggone lot of them. This is Satan's way. It opens up portals also for demonic possession. Family, using the DARPA tattoo, using these devices, they can synthesize demonic activity. Demons are simply nothing more than energy that has intelligence. I want to get down to it. They're real, so they can make synthetic demonic influence by integrating into your soul with ELF transmission. That's what demons are. Balls of light, little specks of light, of energy that think, operate, take orders from a supernatural realm. Well, they've learned to use technology to synthesize it. These devices that they've talked about, this Dr. Robert Schwitzbell, they were then, in 1973, urging government to consider increased use of devices, quote, designed to control group behavior. Now, they noted that the government already spends a lot of its budget on prisons and police and judges. Rehabilitation? Prisons, police, and judges? So that means we've got to get rid of prisons. We've got to control a national police department using felons. That's exactly what they're getting ready to do. 185,000 well-trained felons trained in Christian identity. Microchipped, college degrees, and released when the prisons are closed down, when the North American continent is formed, the North American Union, the 10 regions. You got it now? See, the felons will take out the real police today. You can't tell them that today. They will never understand it. They'll never see this coming. Judges, under a blood oath because they're Freemasons. You won't need prisons, police, and, well, not the same kind of police, and judges, because rehabilitation will be by the digital tattoo. Social control hardware. Schwitzbell here, he proposed shifting a small portion of defense budget away from development of weaponry to devices for measuring and reinforcing desirable behaviors of large groups. The government then noted could easily accomplish this. He said, and I quote, because 80% of the manufacturing assets of the United States is controlled by over 2,000 of the largest corporations. From it's been whittled down to 6, controls most all major corporations. Barton Ingraham of Berkeley School of Criminology, he suggested that further control, Ingraham, I-N-G-R-A-H-A-M, further control could be achieved through developments in electrophysiology. Not only, quote, might complete and continuous surveillance of a person who had demonstrated, quote, criminal tendencies be possible, but automatic deterrence or blocking from the crime ever happening before, to stopping the crime before it even happens, or any other thing they want to do. Electronic stimulation of the brain prior to the commission of the act is also feasible in 1973. electrical impulses injected into the brain would induce, inhibit, or modify such phenomena as movement, desire, rage, aggression, fear, pain, and pleasure. And you know what Yale, another Tavistock and CFR member, Dr. Jose Delgado, another Luciferian, he implanted a radio transceiver into the heads of his experimental animals, including bulls, by the way. They could monitor and control the activities and emotions from distant location. And they had computers already tested on subjects in mental hospitals. The machines are programmed for undesirable behavior and send out inhibitory instructions. And then you'll find a study called The Physical Control of the Mind by Delgado, D-E-L-G-A-D-O. Functioned and funded in part by the government, predicted that the ESB of a person could become a master control of behavior, human behavior, by means of man-made plans and instruments. And so maintaining law and order through brain control would, I quote, require a government with virtually total power. So Ingraham of Berkeley, back then, in the 70s, saw different things in the favor. It would be completely effective. It would obviate the need for massive changes in the social system. Obviate the need for massive changes in the social system. That's a word for eliminating prisons. And it would be relatively cheap. Thus, it falls out of the oral modalities. Oral modalities in psychotherapy are for those that can afford to talk to a counselor, while the poor enjoy chemotherapy, shock therapy, and psychosurgery. The police departments are involved in this, right up to their noses. They don't realize they're going to be taken out as well. One of the fathers of the new behavioral engineering plan was then Joseph Meyer. He worked for the Pentagon, National Security Agency, NSA. The NSA is one of the most secret members of the intelligence establishment. You all know about them. You might say I had a run-in with him myself not long ago. They have twice the budget of the CIA. Its potency is unknown to most Americans. And this Meyer wondered at that time whether the scheme is just and whether it could be misused as an instrument of oppression. So, his answer is that since the poor and uneducated urban dweller, the goyim, is fundamentally unnecessary to the economy, the pressures toward crime are relentless, and therefore the transponder system is cheaper, more efficient, and more just than an old-fashioned occupying army of police in 1973. So Meyer's final rhetorical question was whether the super technology could lead to a police state. Well, now, what do you think? Did they ever anticipate that the suicides could be orchestrated to reduce any kind of resistance against the UN taking over America? This one here, Meyer, he reassures himself that the government can remedy crime without letting technology spill over to other areas. What a fool he may be. What a fool he was. Because the government's controlled by the secret societies, as JFK told you earlier today. Then they have the system of Staves system for electronic analysis, retrieval of chemical criminal histories, search, and the Stave is where they put cameras all over the place under the guise of this sensitized, transmitted alarm video system that you would not believe if you saw them. Now you sort of get an idea. Do you remember the Ventura lawsuit about Kyle, Navy SEAL, heard Ventura running off at the mouth about SEALs? Well, he wrote a book about it where he knocked out Ventura, which I can see it happening easily. Because you're talking about a Navy SEAL. I don't care how big Ventura thinks he is. A Navy SEAL would take him down. But nevertheless, Kyle never made it to court. He was murdered on a firing range with a friend of his by a Marine that they were teaching firearms, marksmanship. You have a camaraderie of Marines and Navy SEALs and former veterans and so forth that when he's teaching you how to shoot, you have a backslapping, a camaraderie of getting together and so forth. So why would he all of a sudden, this Marine, just turn around and just blow away Kyle, one of the most famous snipers since Hancock, and a friend of his, killed them both with a range where people had weapons all over the range, and the Marine just took off, jumped in the car and left. Nobody did a thing. My opinion is assassination. My opinion, MK Ultra. A voice to skull, hypnosis, caused the assassination of Kyle. As a result, he never made it to court, and Ventura won his case. By the way. I wonder. In any case, y'all sort of getting the idea? Now, everything I've given you so far, of course, my opinion was on the legal part there, but everything so far is documented, even the point of having the reports. I got them put away, but I got them. And I'm only barely, once again, because of the time frame and what have you, the scratching the surface. Suicides are being orchestrated. Not accidental. They're not the result of the individual having the victim having a mental breakdown or post-traumatic stress or ADHD results and all this. And let's find ways of that ridiculous AA 12-step nonsense. It doesn't work. It's new age nonsense. The only way in these cases is supernatural to fight supernatural is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you didn't expect me to say that now, did you? We can go in and say, we need a revolution and all this and all that. Well, really, you know what? What got me was, as a matter of fact, let's go back to this for a second, about the chip, the tattoo, and all that. Well, I find this kind of disturbing. This ought to get you all parents up and rising. Birth control microchip adds to growing applications of digital implants. Good luck on that one. Hint, hint. Birth control microchip adds to growing applications of digital implants. And by the way, your dear old grandmother that gets medication, she don't have to remember to do that anymore. With a digital tattoo, she'd be administered her medication automatically with your digital tattoo. Well, isn't that nice? What else is in the digital tattoo? I'm just giving you the report. It goes back 38 years ago. They can deliver electrical shock, induce a heart attack. They can do so many things, and people just, 350 million people, and don't have a clue. And the ones that's doing it think they're doing the right thing by eliminating the goyim. They don't realize that God knows every step they're doing before they know they're even going to take a step or put the darn shoe on. He knows the end from the beginning. That's the secret, is that God knows who's going to accept him and who's not. He knows what's in your heart before you even know you're going to make a decision. Mankind is so arrogant to think that they can outsmart the Savior, that they can outsmart God. Satan and the fallen angels that are going to come here as aliens or ascended masters, the biggest lie ever was, they think they can outsmart God. Yeah. God already knows what's going to happen. He's allowing the time to go by so people will have opportunity in divine appointments to accept his son as their savior. That's why it's lasting. But every step that you, Joint Chief of Staff, you, DARPA, you, CIA, you guys, whatever you are out there in SA, to make more mistakes, it counts against you. No matter what good deeds you do, will count zero. Good deeds you do now count against you. Until you repent. Until you repent. Oh, you're going to catch the wrath of man. Oh, yeah, you'll lose your job, your favorite parking place, and you won't get a birthday cake. But it's better that than spending an eternity in hell, burning and tormented. Because that's what the preachers today aren't talking about. They fail. Preachers today, not all of them, but 90% plus fail at their job at these mega churches. Man, get out of these mega churches. Make them desolate. Take Jesus Christ as Savior. You can form where two or more are gathered as a church. It's not a Catholic. It's not Protestant. It's not Baptist. It's not Methodist. Not Presbyterian. It's not Hindu. Not guru. Not whatever roo it is. It's about you and your heart and those with you worshiping the Savior, Jesus Christ. And the only Bible, there's only one, and that's a King James Bible, and no one can prove otherwise. They can run off at the mouth, deny all they want. They fail every single time. Since when? Since 1611. And you know, before that, you had that Geneva Bible. It was incomplete. They're trying to promote that because it's not complete. It's not the true Word of God. It contained three quarters, but nothing remotely close to the King James Bible. That's why the Calvinists, Preterists, Christianity, and all the others try to get people to take the Geneva Bible to get you away from the King James Bible. Because that Bible has power. And there's power in the blood of Jesus. It's a supernatural war that you're playing with right now. It's supernatural. Y'all better get serious. Because it's coming around. Birth control microchip adds to growing applications of digital implants. Texas, congratulations, you did it again. You stopped that Perry from passing the HPV requirement for 9 to 12 year olds to get the HPV vaccine. You stopped him about 3 or 4 years ago. Well, Texas abortion law did the same thing this time. So Texas is on the ball. How about the Child Euthanasia Act in Oregon? Anybody have any update on that? Is Boykin still going there to try to promote it? General Boykin? I was going to tell you something a little while ago. You've got this individual. What is it? Let's see if I can find it. I should have had it before I mentioned it. He had a anti-Obama sticker or license plate or something. I don't know what. Was fired or something like that. I don't have it in front of me right now, but something silly like that. I don't see it. Yeah, I do. No. Yeah, I do. Army under fire for forcing out conservative Christian soldier. Okay. So the Army is under fire for forcing out a conservative Christian soldier for something he did. Now, let me show you how the absurdity of this war runs. So you got a Christian soldier here, member of the U.S. Army band, so he was forced out of the U.S. Army for having anti-Obama bumper stickers on his personal car, serving the Chick-fil-A sandwiches at a party and reading books written by conservative authors like Sean Hannity. A federal lawsuit alleges and Master Sergeant Nathan Summers, a 25-year veteran of the military, decorated soldier in the U.S. Army band chorus, claimed he was forcibly retired due to his religious and conservative political beliefs for having bumper stickers, right? Okay. You got that now. Well, that's terrible, isn't it? That you'd have bumper stickers, anti-Obama or anti-Bush or anti-Clinton or anti-whatever. Well, can someone answer me this question here after you hear this? When a Knights of Malta member and a General Boykin, working with him, wants to have a military coup of the U.S. government. Now, I got to think about this for a minute. Having bumper stickers on your car or calling for a military takeover of the U.S. government, that's a tough decision, isn't it? Decide which one's worse?
So things are getting nutty.
I don't know. What do you think?
People are concerned about our Constitution and whether or not, you know, we're maintaining the integrity of our Constitution, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Rick Joyner, Pastor Rick Joyner of the Morningstar Ministries, he's genuinely concerned about the disregard for our Constitution, which is why he's praying for God to manufacture a military takeover of the United States government. On a recent TV episode, it's funny, but it's not funny because he's really serious. And he's connected up with some, like, military people. He said this: there's no way our republic can last much longer. It may not last through Obama's second term. There's a glib, almost joyful disregard of the Constitution, a belittling of the Constitution. We're headed for serious tyranny, is what he says. So, Pastor Joyner, please tell us what we can do. I'm concerned about our Constitution, too. What can we do to save it? Let's see what he has to offer.
The kingdom of God is coming. And America is not the kingdom of God. We're not the new Jerusalem. I think we've been used in some wonderful and powerful ways by God. We've been one of the most generous nations in history. We've done so much good. And that's why I appeal to the Lord. Don't let us be totally destroyed. Please raise up those who will save us. And as I've started telling friends for a long time, that no election's going to get the right person in there that can restore us, because the system is so broken, so undermined right now, the whole system. I believe our only hope is a military takeover, martial law, and that the most crucial element of that is who the marshal is going to be. I believe there are noble leaders in our military.
Well, I hope God is watching his little TV station there.
I'm shocked that he would ask for specifically a military takeover. Oftentimes their messages are slightly more subtle.
And even more specifically, he says, I believe that there are noble leaders in our military that love the republic, love everything that we stand for, and they could seize the government. And what's important to him, as he said, is who those people are within the military. So who might those noble marshals be, Pastor Joyner? Well, Rick Joyner is the president of the Oak Initiative, which is, their own website describes them as a grassroots movement to unite, mobilize, equip, and activate Christians. And among the ministers and Christian lobbyists that comprise the 14 board member of the Oak, listed directly below the chair and the president, is retired Army General Jerry Boykin. And this is how Boykin is described in the Oaks Initiative own website. Lieutenant General Boykin was one of the elite warriors chosen in 1978 to make up the first unit in America's ultra-secretive and deadly Delta Force. That's who I want as part of my Christian army.
That's unbelievable. You know, what the hypocrisy here is just egregious, right? So one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not kill. Period. It's not thou shalt not kill unless it's convenient to our political agenda. It's unbelievable, especially to have people that have essentially trained to kill others on their board and on their team.
Besides the fact of the hypocrisy of they're so concerned about the Constitution that they want to usurp the Constitution. So on a recent show, General Boykin and Pastor Joyner discussed the excitement that the end times were near and that the only thing that needs to happen in order for the end times is for a prophecy to take place, Isaiah's prophecy of the destruction of Damascus, Syria. So they're like
super excited about the destruction.
They're geared up. Yeah. Oh, goody, grab the popcorn, you know. End days are coming, but not before Joyner and Boykin elicit God's help to save the Constitution by suspending the Constitution.
There, you see how it works? Oh, I'm going to do it again tomorrow. I got some other evidence to show you. We'll continue on with this and feminist movement as well. We'll continue with tomorrow as well. There's a documentary film called The Hidden Enemy: Inside Psychiatry's Covert Agenda. Now, you can't blame the psychiatrists. All they are just shoeshine boys doing what the Illuminati at the highest level, your Joint Chief of Staff, are allowing. Let's call it for what it is. They blame the psychiatrist out of control. That's a bunch of baloney. They're trying to buffalone you. Trying to buffalo you and give you a lot of baloney. Called buffalone. It's a lie. It goes to the highest level of government, Joint Chief of Staff, your kings and queens of this world. Whose side are you on? They're calling for a military takeover versus a bumper stickers? What happened? Did General Boykin get called back in the Army and court-martialed? Or was Rick Joyner, was his Morningstar Ministries closed down? And Secret Service visit them? No, because both of them are Knights of Malta. Jerry Boykin is a chancellor. Goes back to World War II, the last time they had a chancellor of Knights of Malta. You think maybe that JFK is right? Why, 350 million people just sit fighting each other, the black, the white, the Chinese, the Hispanic, we fighting each other with our own little galvanized, we have whites, you got the KKK, you got the Aryan Nation. Tyrannical government we live in, right? Tyrannical government, when we got the poorest tyrannical government I've ever seen in my life. Tyranny, and you got a pastor and a general in the army that are working together for military takeover of the U.S. government. What kind of tyrannical government is that? You heard it yourself on this little old station I got here. Yeah, tyrannical government, where's it at? I'm looking for that tyrannical government. Could it be the police officers that are doing the shooting and the beating are the ones I've been talking about for the past 5 years that are former felons that's being allowed in the police departments that's conducting these to take your minds off the respect of police so you'll want the New World Order? Would that be it, maybe? And the teachers following along with their mind control of seducing the 17, 18-year-olds in their classes, which is massive now, to show that you can't trust the teachers either. So they'll sign the International Rights of the Child. Think maybe the justification going on there? Yeah, buddy, there is. You better believe it. This is organized and it's orchestrated. The extent of suicides, domestic violence, and now they're blaming the women for the abuses being handed to them. Is this going to cause a division? Oh, let me see here now. You blame the men for the rapes, yeah, but now you're blaming the women because they're getting raped. Okay, you think that maybe a division there? Maybe it's going to cause a division in us again? Gosh, let me think about it for a minute. Oh, that's coming out now. This women now are the, what they're doing is causing them to be abused. They're doing this on purpose to tick you off. And men say, well, see, I told you that these stupid surveys that they put out at Harvard, and people really take them serious. When are y'all going to stand up? Turn off that stupid TV. throw your golf clubs in the closet and stop watching cars go around the circuits 500 times. They win, so what? Well, your children have been abused, lied to, taught trash. In the meantime, your souls are rotting. Your souls are being lost. You need to get God back in your family. Take control. You start with your family, and that means renouncing the blood oath of Freemasonry, so there'll be no more secrets in your family. That's a good start. And you all that's in it, we're talking deliverance of your family from demonic influence. That's why your families are breaking apart. That's why your families, your children, are wearing the black nail polish, or they're having trouble at school, or they promiscuous or whatever. It's because you invited Freemasonry into your home under the blood oath. You've become possessed of that family. That's why it changed all of a sudden. That's why you have some of these physical maladies and attacks and all this. It's because it is demonic. It is influential of your lifestyle. The shootings at Fort Hood and Washington Navy Yard were linked to psychiatric drugs. 22 to 26 veterans are committing suicide every day. In 2012, there was more active duty soldiers died from suicide than were killed in battle. There's a questionnaire used to screen military personnel for depression and post-traumatic stress. It was copyrighted by Pfizer. Oh, that's an interesting name. They manufactured the antidepressant Zoloft and other psychiatric drugs. You can't blame the psychiatrist. It's who controls the psychiatrist. That be the Joint Chief of Staff. 85% of military suicides had never seen combat. Explain that one. More than 60% of suicides in the military that were taking antidepressants or recently undergoing outpatient psychiatric treatment. The antipsychotic drug Seroquel, referred to by soldiers and veterans as Seroquel, because of its implication in cases of cardiac arrest and sudden death, that it happened. I hope that this program today has demonstrated to you why. I hope. Claimed that the spate of self-harm is because of stresses of war. But the facts reveal that 85% of military suicides have not seen combat, and 52% never been deployed. So what's the deal here? As I showed yesterday, as it just kind of worked out, because I just kind of put this program together, as that works, that your celebrities have given their soul to Satan. Now, whether you believe in Satan or not makes no difference whatsoever, because they do. And they sign, literally, they've signed their name in blood to this one that you don't believe exists, Satan. Or they will not be able to work in Hollywood. They would not have contracts, not one of them. They all have to be Freemasons, warlocks, witches, wizards, whatever, before they get a contract. They have to perform some act. Abomination that opens up portals for them to be possessed, all of them. They pretend to be patriots. They pretend to be in their acting career. That's not who they really are. You ever heard of the word acting? Acting means something in Hollywood. It means you're not who you say you are. When you, hello. And they're on TV. TV is scripted. There's no such thing as reality. You know that Duck Dynasty is going to start writing his own Bible by next year? That cancels them out as Christian. That means they're liars. When he starts writing his own Bible, talks about the King James. So what? Y'all buying this? Right there shows their true colors. You see how it works? Family, toward the end here, let y'all know that tomorrow we're going to continue. the same direction. Also, let y'all know that we are played, our broadcasts and Bible studies are played out at highpointradio.net randomly. Highpointradio.net by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. He plays our broadcast and Bible studies randomly. My website, watchmanforjesus.com. I use it mainly for my broadcast. I have some extensive studies there, not a lot. I don't have a lot of bells and whistles. I'm not an expert at that stuff, but I put it together best I could. I had a little run-in with several webmasters I'll never do again. Man, don't give these people your passwords. Have them teach you how to do it, or, I don't know, don't let them in your computer. Trust me on that one. Better learn yourself anyway. They get a God complex when they get your password and everything else. Family, it's time to look to the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the first thing you got to do. Let Him give them knowledge. Trust in Him. That's the bottom line in all this, because it is supernatural. We're entering that realm. We're entering that period of time that the supernatural is going to take a natural spat of events. Up close and personal. Get close with the Savior. Don't wait around. Family, get tough, but have a heart. Help each other. Y'all have a good night. It's only through Jesus. And the only word you're going to get is in the King James Bible. That's it. Until the disclosure and the falling away, then you better have it written in your heart, because you're going to need it. But the Savior's there. The Holy Spirit's with you. Times are going to change. It's time to stop the nonsense and get with the truth. Get out of these churches. Get out of these religions and get with Jesus Christ. He's not about religion. He's about redemption and salvation. The King James Bible is not about religion. It's about your salvation. He tells you exactly what happened and what's going to happen. The King James Bible sets itself apart. Time to get serious, family. And watchmen arise. Your time's coming. Y'all have a good night. God bless you. Tonight, 8 to 9 is Bible study. We're going to go into end times events and continue on the rest of this week. The truth about the end times. Y'all have a good night. God bless, and see y'all tonight or tomorrow. This is The Watchman, signing off. The love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted in peace.